from the ages.
Man is not willingly a political animal. He does not love society as much as he fears solitude. He combines with other men because isolation endangers him, and because there are many things which can be done better together than alone.
That was a statement from the book called The History of Civilization by Will Durant.
This is Face to the Future, a new transcribed series on this station produced in cooperation with the North American Air Defense Command. Its conductor is Del Vina, well-known broadcaster, author, lecturer, a lady of adventure as well. It's Face to the Future, and here is our hostess, Del Vina.
Welcome again to Face to the Future. To those of you who take a daily newspaper, read a magazine, tune in your radio or TV set, or attend public meetings, it's hard to escape the fact that everything you do is affected by political actions. It's the practice of a strange but ancient art we call political science. Like everything else in life, it has its traditional face, its good face, and its evil distortions. An American once described it as the art of the possible. But Chinese communist leader Mao Zedong said, "Political power comes from a gun barrel. In fact, anything can come from a gun barrel." Time after time in history, the best work of political leaders, when they led from military weakness, found their situations impossible, and the outcome was the worst of all disillusionments, the worst of all developments, war.
Parliament is going to meet, and I shall be making a full statement of the events which have led up to the present anxious and critical situation. After my visits to Germany, I realized vividly how Herr Hitler feels that he must champion other Germans. He told me privately, and last night he repeated publicly, that after this Sudeten German question is settled, that is the end of Germany's territorial claims in Europe.
That was Britain's Prime Minister Chamberlain as he expressed a vain hope for peace. It was 1938. Czechoslovakia was no more, but a war was in the making. The man with the gun barrel was in the ascendancy against those who would only rely on words and weakness. And not too long after that, the day of reckoning came to America. The world heard President Roosevelt.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
When that war had come and gone, America had bounced into world leadership. A war which had cost her 1 million in dead and wounded had given her that leadership. And it had also pointed out the fallacy of unilateral military weakness. Statesmen of other years might fight for post-war rights and spheres of influence on the basis of highest casualty lists, but the world now leaned to the leadership of those who would negotiate for military power and use it to keep the peace until genuine agreements could be reached. President Truman was first to say why.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war.
Not long afterward, in this new era of changing atomic political advantage, Red China made its claim for a seat in the United Nations. It had won precedence and power by machine gun, the chopping block, and more than 800,000 of its people would die in executions for being in real or fancied dissent. Red China would enter volunteers in Korea, would back communist elements in Vietnam, would fight in the Formosa Straits, take Tibet, and menace India. Even the Soviet Union, motherland of communism, now has to face the prospect that the offspring might eat the parent, and then some. Great political realignments are taking place. Great political actions, and greater ones, are forecast.
Mr. Chairman, I welcome you, your family, and party to the United States. I am especially happy that Mrs. Khrushchev and other members of your family are accompanying you. On behalf of the government and of the people of America, I express the hope that you and they will find your stay among us interesting and useful. I am looking forward to the talks we will have together.
Господин председатель Совета министров, я приветствую вас, вашу семью и сопровождаю.
The lines are drawn. Will it be political power from the gun barrel, or the art of the possible, or both? The difference between Chamberlain's visit to Munich and the present era exchange of visits between the leaders of the Soviet and the U.S. is that Khrushchev saw the faces of a determined people, armed against attack. Were leaders of the Western world required to react quickly to aggression today, they would have a weapon system to react with, not just words alone. My next guest is from California. Would you identify yourself, please?
I'm Dr. Hilton P. Goss, manager of the social science operation of the General Electric Company's technical military planning operation in Santa Barbara.
We're so accustomed to political science and government, but isn't this political projection for corporation planning new?
It's really a very recent development on any corporate level, whether large or small, and dates back no more than 4 or 5 years in the main.
From your perspective, American business, are the current Russian moves political probes or military threats, in your opinion?
The primary motive is political, and that for two reasons. The first reason that Russia is in no position to provoke and indulge in a war which could easily become total. The second reason is that Russia needs very strenuously to consolidate her political advancements of the past 20 or 30 years.
Well, we normally think of two great powers in the world today, the United States and the Soviet Union. How far into the future do you think this will extend?
This relationship is already in a state of change. The period has passed when United States and the Soviet Union were the two sole occupants of the top level. Evidence already exists that Western Europe, India, Red China, and several other power centers are emerging and are challenging the United States and the Soviet Union for the occupancy of this top position. It would be our estimate that the year 2000 would be a point where you might see the emergence of Africa as a power center.
Some believe the political challenges of the future will be so great that we will arbitrarily have to limit ourselves in the use of resources. Do you see a political problem here?
Well, politically, it'll be a very hot potato, as you can imagine. I would say that we would see more and more an agreement that the citizens of a democracy must recognize responsibilities as well as privileges.
So today it's Russia, Red China. Tomorrow, new power centers. While political science is being used to develop the world economically, scientifically, intellectually, and in other profound and far-reaching ways, it will not be safe in the foreseeable future for its stability to be unprotected by military force. When Hitler took Czechoslovakia in 1938, America had less than 200,000 in her armed forces. When he launched World War II, we were still in the same slow motion. Listen now to the warning historian, Britain's Arnold Toynbee at the United Nations.
The Second World War Has, I suppose, been one of the greatest tragedies in human history so far. It was particularly tragic because, as Sir Winston Churchill has argued, it was avoidable.
With this reminder of the feelings of one of the world's great political scientists and statesmen, to whom the world and his country paid little attention to be strong militarily in time to be effective, I now ask Dr. Goss to forecast the implications of the year 2000 in the political field.
Probably three or four most important challenges could be enumerated. One, how the individual in the world of 2000 can keep his identity. Secondly, how will groups of individuals, and by this we mean nations, be able to avoid mutual destruction? Thirdly, how will the potential of the human race be drawn into action for the good of all mankind? And fourthly, and most importantly for our purposes, how will the people of a democracy keep their freedom without surrendering unity in the force of a common peril?
The influence of and demands upon the political scientist and the practical politician are growing increasingly greater. Where he could once protect constituents in a county or province, he has recently had to watch out for continents and is expanding into the configuration of the universe itself. The youngster who enters kindergarten this fall will be 45 at the year 2000. His challenge is to achieve for the living by vision and vitality. Momentary comforts of today should never be allowed by him to obscure discomforts and destruction which can wait in an insecure future.
This has been Face to the Future, a transcribed series on this station, produced in cooperation with the North American Air Defense Command and featuring Delvina with her parade of interesting guests. Be with us next time as we put our face to the future.